We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
You know, I was thinking about coming off the back of Easter, I kept finding myself going back to Colossians 3. And that's where the Apostle Paul is defining to us what the empty tomb means for our lives and what it should change in us. That's right. What did you change in us? You know, some people, they think, yeah, Jesus died. Yes, Jesus rose from the grave. And I'm thankful because that means he saved me. But there's also an expectation of change to happen within us. The Apostle Paul goes, whoa. I want to talk to you about what the empty tomb means in your life. And so we're going to be digging through Colossians 3 and what it means in my life and in your life. Because Christ rose again and the tomb is empty, does that change the expectation God has for my life? That's the question. So today we begin a series titled Reverb. Reverb. And I want to talk about the life, our life's echo, because of the empty grave, because of the empty tomb, what does it mean for us? And if you're not somebody that would be privy to what reverb is, it's a very normal word, phrase, effect used or understood in the music world. And this is the definition of reverb. Reverb occurs when a sound hits any hard surface and reflects back to the listener at varying times and amplitudes to create a complex echo which carries information about that physical space. So the echo that comes back is carrying information about that physical space. Are you getting this? So let me help you understand. Because of the echo now found from that empty tomb, how does that translate or echo even reverberate through my life? My walk, my talk, my actions, my whole life. What is it saying about God? After all of our lives are reverberating something, aren't they? I'm going to pray because I jumped right into it. God, I thank you for the ability to dive into your word and to hear from you. I pray that you would just continue, Lord God, to reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is reverb? Again, reverb occurs when a sound hits any hard surface and reflects back to the listener at varying times and amplitudes to create a complex echo which carries information about that physical space. Do you know your reverb, your life's echo, should carry information about the physical space of the empty tomb? You, what you do, what you say, how you are, it should be sending out more than just good vibes. It should be sending out information about an empty tomb. That's what the life, our life's echo should be about. And so I remember, I don't know about you, but whenever I get into a place where I can kind of act a little bit like a child, I like to be like a kid because it's more fun. So if I'm on high things, I like to, you know, throw something off it. I found myself in the Andes mountain chain in Chile, and I just screamed, echo, echo, echo. And I looked at the people with me, and they were kind of like, dude, you're 35. And I just looked back at them and was like, echo. I just wanted to hear the echo because I understand what goes out should come back similarly. So what happened in the tomb when the echo hits the empty tomb wall? I remember standing in the garden tomb, standing at the door of the tomb in Israel. And as I spoke, I heard the echo come back to me because the tomb is in fact empty. And so that echo, that reverberation that was creating an echo coming back to me, that means that I myself should live a life that actually lets people know the tomb is empty. Are you getting this, church? And so the echo that came back is the confirmation in that tomb that it is in fact empty, that he's no longer there and he's risen, just as he said. But how we choose to live our life creates a reverb about what we believe about that empty tomb. I want the reverb I am giving off, putting off in this world. Again, like I said, more than just good vibes. I want it instead to be an echo of that tomb that is empty. And that's exactly what God wants us to do too. He wants our lives to carry this echo. Look what it says in Colossians 1. It says this: God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So again, God has chosen to make known what? The riches of this mystery. What is the mystery? That Christ is in you and that there is a hope. We have a reason to hope, and God wants to make known the riches through you, that the world has a reason to hope because of who now dwells in you. God wants you to say, he's not there anymore. He's now here. He's not here. He's now here. And because of that, it should change within us the way that we walk and we talk. How we choose to carry the riches of this mystery determines whether we help God make the hope of Jesus known. You ready to dig into Colossians 3 right now? Because I'm going there whether you're ready or not. Here we go. Let's read it together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Since. Then. Since because. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So as I dug through this, I thought, whoa, there are a lot of, okay, because since you have been raised in Christ, since things have changed because Christ was raised, he called you, he now lives in you, the power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you, there are things that should change in you. And I was like, whew, okay, so I'm praying, God, what are we going to speak about? Last week was Easter, and we all knew what to speak about then. But what about now? And it just kept coming back to me. Well, what because of the empty tomb, now what? Now what? And so as I dig through this with the Apostle Paul, I keep going back to the what. And so does the way I live my life, the reverb I give to the world, resonate with them that I in fact believe Christ rose from the grave? Are my action, words, and thought life confirming my statement of faith? Statement of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Well, then that changes the whole world. It changes my world from the inside out if I truly believe that. Are you getting this? So the thing that's interesting is your actions, your words, your thought life, regardless, they are all going to confirm your belief. And what do I mean by that? Whatever you truly believe is going to be what you carry. And it doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It just means if we continually choose to do things, it means we want to do it. It doesn't mean, as Pastor Steve Kelly says, if I hate tomatoes, I'm not going to eat a tomato. But we don't stop sinning because we don't truly hate sin. So that being said, we have to go, okay, if my belief system has changed because my statement of faith is clear, then there should be clear change in my walk, yeah? And so what we continuously do affirms what we really believe. Here's some questions to consider from Colossians. Number one, am I spending more time worried about the conditions around me than within me? I'm just digging all of this right from the scripture that we just read. Look what it says in verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We set our hearts on things around us all the times. All the time, things around us shift and change things that are going on in us and around us. And it our hearts start to get away from what's most important, and what's the loudest is what we're going towards, what we're focused on. So how's my heart? What have I fixated on? Am I spending more time focused on the conditions of this world than I am the conditions of my heart? Why be consumed by something you can't fix? It's easy. You know, have you ever heard the saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease? The idea that whatever's squeaking, whatever's the loudest thing you happen to go and fix or deal with, well, sometimes the loudest thing is nothing more than a distraction from the most important thing. And we have to be able to look and go, okay, look, I know that thing is screaming, it's really loud, it's belligerent, it's flagrant in my world, but is it the most important thing, or is it trying to detract me from the thing God wants of me? Where are we fixing our hearts? Because we do have the power to change what's going on in our hearts. We have that ability. It's natural to focus our attention, like I said, on whatever's screaming, but the world sometimes likes to throw smoke screens that keeps us from focusing on the thing God is calling most important. So we have to guard our heart during these times. The Bible says everything flows from it, doesn't it? But look what it also, going back to Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Okay, I will set my hearts to hope for the better that is sure to come for those who are in Christ. I'm not going to allow my heart to get trampled on. I'm not going to allow my heart to, start to feel this over-increasing anxiety. I'm not going to allow my heart to be overcome with this worry and concern. I'm going to choose to fixate on knowing that those who believe in Christ, there's going to be better. And I'm going to fixate on that. Number two, am I setting my mind on the struggles around me more than the God within me? Again, the second verse of this, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Look, don't allow your thoughts to carry away. Don't allow your mind to play tricks on you. Don't allow yourself to go there, because there probably isn't the most healthy place to be. Don't allow your struggles around you to overcome the faith of the one within you. We have to understand that we have the ability to guard our hearts, and we have the ability to set our minds. Where's your mindset? Because you can reset your mind. You know, there are times in your mind you've just got to yell, recalculating! And then start to reset. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to think about how that person wronged me. I'm not going to think about how this world doesn't look like it just looks darker and darker. I'm going to think about the things that God has said to set my mind to. He said the things above, not beneath. Come on, he said that we have to be able to see with eyes of faith. Some of you need to take off the eyes of fear. Some of you need to start yelling, recalculating, every time you have that thought. Every time you've got to take captive that thought and not let it take hold of you. Number three, am I more concerned about the response to the pandemic than my response to Christ? This hurts. Pastor, there's a pandemic outside. I don't think you understand. See, Pastor, you're underreacting to what's happening out there. No, I'm just choosing. I am aware of what's going on outside. I'm also aware that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And so I'm fixing my mind on that. I'm protecting my heart from the concern and the worry of this world. Jesus said, worries will be with you. Troubles you will always have, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So what am I fixing my mind on? Yes, it looks gloomy. But the Christ in me says we're victorious. The Christ in me says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, so I'm going to set my mind on that. Regardless of whether we die tomorrow or not, regardless of how our end comes, I want to be sure we were more focused on our soul's condition than our hand sanitation. Oh, I'm going to put that on the screen for you. That doesn't mean not to have hygiene. It means what's more important. Man, if you guys were running to your Bible like you run to Purell, If you were looking in the Proverbs more than you were looking in Purell, come on, if you were seeking after God like you seek for the Lysol, I don't even need to say anymore. Colossians 3:3-4 says, "For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." I'm going to remind myself, no, I'm Christ. I'm in Christ. Christ's in me. I'm going to appear in glory. I'm going to remember whose I am, not just what's going on. I'm going to remember whose I am. 2 Corinthians says it this way, because here's something we need to be reminded of. And right before I read this, you need to remember, just because the world's changed doesn't mean our marching orders have changed. And so now, read this. "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us." Not just God is making appeal, he's using us as the mouthpiece. "We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Am I keeping my charge as Christ's ambassador, my daily why? Is my daily why to be the person helping someone? I'm pleading with them to come back to God. Maybe not always just through my words, but certainly through my words. It's easy for someone to say, "Well, I'm just going to continue to live for Christ, and my example will speak louder than words." Yeah, but there's power in your words, and if you don't ever speak, you'll be held for not ever speaking. We'll stand before God one day, and I want to make sure that I wasn't so afraid to speak up about what was most important. If I'm an ambassador for Christ, then that should change what I do, how I think, and what my day looks like. I should be looking for someone to help. I should be looking for someone to reach. I should be looking for someone to encourage. They should wonder why I have hope, and then I should open my mouth to explain that I'm not a dope. It rhymed. I went there. Didn't work out as well. But hey, listen, we have to have a reason for our hope. The Bible says, be ready to give a reason in season and out of season. That rhymed, but that was scripture and that was better. Am I keeping my charge as Christ's ambassador in my daily why? Number four, do I see this time as a hunting season or a stunting season? Am I just giving in that growth will be stunted because of the times I'm living in? Or am I choosing to go on the offensive to sharpen myself, my mentality, physically, spiritually? Am I choosing to sharpen myself? Am I choosing to grow? And how do we grow? I oftentimes talked about, through the past, I did a series called Additives. And I talked a lot about, or it was called Vessels. And I talked about all the things we're adding in our life. And our life is like a vessel. The Bible talks oftentimes how we're, clay in the potter's hand and how he's making us a vessel to work through. But I talk about how the vessel only has so much room, and that depending on what we're choosing to add to our life means there's less time, there's less opportunity, there's less energy to have the opportunity to do other things, right? So if I'm continually adding the wrong things and having the wrong additives in my life and in my world, then it actually limits the ability to be used by God. And so what am I saying here right now? What I'm saying is that if we're going to have, if we're going to grow, then something else has to decrease. Remember, the scripture says, I must decrease so that he can increase, meaning I only have so much space, and if it's all about me, then it's not about him. But if it's about him, then it's less about me, so something has to decrease. Is it a hunting season? Are you putting to death the things that shouldn't be there so there's space for what should be there? Look what it says in Corinthians 3:5. It says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lusts, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, because of these, the wrath of God is coming." You know, some people go, I don't deal with that. Oh, there's evil desires and greed. Maybe I do deal a little bit with that. Am I allowing my greed to grow because of what others have in this time that I don't? Am I putting to death all the evil desires of my flesh? You know, the Bible says an idle mind is the devil's, or the Bible doesn't say this, it's a saying, the idle mind is the devil's playground. We have a lot of idle twiddling thumbs right now. We've got to be careful. We have to be very careful that we're not making bad decisions because we have more time on our hands. We've got to choose to put to death the things that shouldn't belong. It's hunting season, not stunting season. We're not going to be stunted in our growth. We're going to create room to grow that which is healthy. Are you with me? It's about time we declared open season on all that needs to die in our life and in our world. See, Paul isn't holding back any punches. Have you ever had a physical trainer? I've had a tough physical trainer, but because we were friends, it never escalated to that point where, you know, sometimes on the TV shows and on some of these YouTube channels, you see people, they're like drill sergeants, and they are not holding any punches. They are going after it. And you just feel like, how can I ever do this? But know what's interesting? When the results start to show, no one complains about the trainer anymore. And in this situation, I see the Apostle Paul as a spiritual trainer, not holding any punches, knowing these are hard scriptures and these are hard sayings, but they will produce life rather than death. They will, at the end, produce health in your life. And so I'm thankful that he doesn't hold any punches. I'm thankful he just says it how it needs to be said. And so Paul is being that spiritual trainer to us. Ready for number 5. What have I allowed to surge that should be purged? Again, Colossians 3, just reading through the same scriptures here. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, he goes on another rant, on anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Can I just pause there? The amount of people that are Christians that haven't cleaned up their mouth because they just figure it's all covered under grace. Well, Paul made it pretty clear. If you don't have it nice to say, don't say it. He said, filthy lips. Filthy lips. And so I kind of look at it and I go, there are a lot of Christians that think it's super cool and trendy just to continue to talk the way they talked, thinking it's all covered under the cross. Can I tell you? Grace should not be abused. And what I will say is if Paul goes there, he's not pulling punches. He's not holding back. What that means is that we should consider and reconsider what reverb is coming off of my life. What echo? Is the echo coming from my life actually the same echo that's coming from the grave? Is it carrying information about that empty space to the next person? That's what we're talking about. All right, I'll go back to the scripture. Sorry. Not sorry. Do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices. And I can hear somebody now, oh man, this is one of those churches that expects you to be perfect. No, don't tune out, don't turn off. We're just going there because the Apostle Paul makes it clear. And so some people, I don't know, maybe this is one of the first times you've tuned into church and you're expecting it to be fire and brimstone, and if you don't do this, you're going to hell and all this other stuff. What I'll tell you is hell is real. But we need to understand God isn't trying to make us come to him because of fear of hell. He's making us come to him because of love and relationship. He created us to have real relationship, not stale religion. And so as I continue to try and be a better husband, there are things I'm putting to death in my world just to be a better husband. As I'm trying to be a better father, I'm choosing to put to death selfishness and choosing to get on the Legos and play, get on the floor and play with those Legos, those same Legos that were stuck in my foot at 2 a.m. I'm putting to death what I really feel about those Legos for the sake of growing relationships. So in the same way, if I'm willing to put something to death for a relationship, why wouldn't God expect me to do the same? So it's not that we're expecting perfection, although God says be perfect. Like me. He knows we can't do it, but he wants us to try. And it's important for you to know you can't do it so that you don't somehow become that person that acts like they're perfect. But I got to take a minute to go back here, because someone that would say, there's no way I can live never, ever dealing with anger. There's no way I can live without having a moment of anger. First of all, the Bible says that you can be angry, but not sin. It says, be angry, but do not sin. What does that mean? I can, as long as the anger doesn't turn into something unhealthy, right? Righteous indignation. There's a lot of things that make me angry. I look at the world around me and see how far from God it is, and it gets me angry knowing that, man, life is supposed to be better than this for everyone, not just for me. So, but let me just dig real quick into this scripture. It says in verse 7, you used to walk in these ways. Say used to. you used to walk in these ways. Walk is a lifestyle, not a moment to failure. Walk is something, it's not the picture, it's the movie. It's the movie. Don't judge somebody by a picture. Look at the movie. In the same way, God's not saying, you're never going to deal with this. He's saying you used to walk in this. The Apostle Paul said, you used to walk in this. And we might have a moment of failure, but at least we know it was a moment and we get beyond it. Yes? Wow. It's still weird preaching to an empty room if you're on the other side of this camera. I'm sorry. So taking off, purging, ridding comes from a place of honesty. So what and who, even how I used to be, should be different in ways than I am if I'm honest with myself. If you don't have a past life, you're not walking in newness of life. This is important. Because when I think of what Colossians is saying here, it's talking about the past life I need to rid myself of. If you can't see a change from BC, before Christ and after Christ, if you can't see a change in your world, then you're not walking in the newness of life that God's called us to. But that's between you and God, not for me to judge, but for me to say, hey, let's take inventory of our own hearts. Without an older, thrown off shell of ourselves, we're not walking as a present believer. And I gotta land the plane. So number six, is there a change happening within me that is noticeable around me? See, if you walk into a space, you walk into a Capitol building, you walk into some place that's just enormous. You know, I think about the State House there in Massachusetts, and it's got the dome and it's got the marble floors. You walk in, and as you talk, you hear the echo, the reverb happening around. And when I think about God, has my life change been noticeable to people around me? I think, well, what does the reverb sound like? What information am I putting out there by my actions and my talk? When we accept Christ, we accept him as our Savior. And with that decision, we throw off the old self. Just as Christ died, we died to our sins. We have been charged to put on our new self. New inside. And through a process of renewing our mind, we continue to see a new self on the outside. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's a continuum. What we are doing, saying, how we love, how we have to, how we've become more selfless, not selfish. These are the things I'm talking about. Because of the empty tomb, there should be a new you. Colossians 3:10, because you've gotten rid of the old self and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So this new self doesn't stay new unless I renew. Do you get that? Okay, something I have new will eventually look and feel old if I don't continue to renew it. Why do you think shoeshines exist? Trying to keep it new. We have to renew our spirit, renew our mind, renew our hearts. And that happens from the knowledge of Jesus. That happens from the knowledge, continuing to get into the word. What we are putting into our world is a direct response to what we are believing about the grave. Paul is saying, since the tomb is empty, this is our response as Christ followers. Don't be discouraged in this moment because you feel overwhelmed by the list of everything he rattled off. Why don't we take it day by day? But let's be purposeful. Let's be focused on becoming more like Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, as I close with this. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. God wants you to be more and more like his Son. When I found out that God wanted a relationship with me, I grew up in the church, and it's hard to decipher when I was really saved because I feel like I always believed. But I remember when I came back to God. It was a moment where I realized God wanted a relationship with me, not with me through my parents, as a teenager. And I remember saying, okay, God, I'll believe in you, but I don't want to change this. And the more I drew into God in worship, the more I drew into him and his word, the more he drew out of me the things I thought I wanted to keep. Why? Because of relationship. Love always wins out. And because of God's love for you and I, he just wants you to fall in love with him. When someone says, okay, now that you're a Christian, you have to change, blah, 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 and they go down the list just like the Apostle Paul is talking to believers that should know better at this point. But what's interesting is God is saying, look, if you truly love me, things will change. I just want your attention. I want your focus so that I can love on you and you can experience what I created you for. Today, I want you to have the opportunity to experience what God created you for. And that was real relationship with him. I don't know what your past looks like, but what I know is it doesn't withhold you from the relationship of God if you would accept Jesus. A lot of people say, I don't even know what that means. Well, I want you to understand that Jesus, he was God's intervention for all mankind. He knew that there was no way for us to have an eternal relationship with him unless something spotless, someone sinless came and died for our sins. And in the Western world, we don't understand blood covering sin. We don't understand sacrifice the way that the Eastern world does and the Middle East does, because for centuries, for millennia, they've had to put to death animals for the sake of sin in the temples and in the synagogues. And so in context, people there understood completely that something had to die to pay for the sin, because Romans says, for the wages of sin equals death. Can I tell you that Jesus came to this earth, lived a sinless life so that he could die for you and cover your sin? That's what the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is all about. What you deserve, he took care of. But the only way to receive it is accepting it. And so today, would you accept Jesus?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.